100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. I've got my coffee, got my laundry going, got the treadmill running, so it's time for the weekly challenge, where I post a topic and you come up with stories. What's the topic this week? I think it's brain. It's brain. So a whole bunch of stories on the topic of brain. Let's just get right to it. First one up to bat, even though baseball season is over. First one up to bat is Muncie.
Greetings, salutations, and a hearty whoop whoop, Fisher Kings. From Muncie, who's calling you the Fisher Kings now, and full disclosure, who has recorded this month's stories in a rush so as to focus more perfectly on his NaNoWriMo. Who else is doing NaNo this year? All of you? Any of you? Fair enough. Story time. The Perfect Team by Christopher Monroe. We're the perfect team if you think about it. Me, the brains. You, the one doing what I say without question. In fact, maybe you shouldn't bother thinking about it. Take my word for it. We're the perfect team. And, once this day is over, thanks to you, I'll be rich. You'll be either dead or imprisoned, and, upon questioning, you'll realize I never even gave you my name. But that's not important right now. What's important is that you trust me, and do what I say without question. That's the way this team works. Got it? Good. Let's roll. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me, Fisher Kings. And know that while you're listening, I am writing, because it is that time, as you well know, of year.
Thank you, Munzee, for taking the time out of your busy novel writing schedule, and novel editing schedule, and novel flaying schedule to come back to your family, your posse, your gang that you won't tell your name to and wind up sending us all to prison. So a lot of people out there are doing the NaNoWriMo thing. Some of them keep coming back. Some of them are taking a break. And some folks say, oh yeah, I'm doing that novel thing. And then they don't send in stories. Whatever you do, it's okay. It's all right. I understand. And even if I don't understand, it's cool, man. That's what it's all about. You Fisher Kings. So who's up next? Who's next in the line to send? Oh, it's Jeffrey. And he's got two stories. All right. Here's Jeffrey and his stories. Let's listen.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 446 on the topic of brain. My first story is called Smart Alec. Alec was the smartest kid in his sixth grade class, the biggest brain. Everyone knew that, even the new kids. In fact, if the new kids didn't hear it from some other source, Alec told them himself. After all, what was the point of being the smartest kid if no one else knew? Despite his brains, and did Alec mention how bright he was? Oh, he did. Good. One thing baffled him. Why did so many of his classmates seem so unappreciative of his genius and keep beating the snot out of him? My second story is called Icebreaker. He kept the brain in a formaldehyde-filled jar on his desk, a real conversation piece. Guests would invariably comment on the unusual decoration and ask how he came by it. His stock reply? Oh, I killed the last visitor to ask that question and dissected him. Both he and the visitor would have a good laugh, breaking the ice. Reducing tension in the room also made it easier to catch the visitor off guard. He preferred slipping poison into a drink, as it left the brain intact. He would take the body to the basement, remove the brain, and burn the rest. Then the new brain would occupy the place of honor, and the old would join the others on a basement shelf. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with more stories.
Thank you, Jeffrey. It took a while for me to wrap my brain around that. Can you actually wrap your brain around something? Probably not. That would be quite painful. Well, the brain itself has no nerves, so it wouldn't be painful, but it would be debilitating. Yes, the word is debilitating. The word for the day is debilitating, even though the topic is brain. Try to wrap your brain around that one. So next is Richard. All right, let's get Richard going. I'm going at a leisurely pace this morning. I'll step it up once I get the thing into GarageBand rendering mode. There's actually a button for that. I should macro all of this. After 446 of these, you'd think I have templates. So I've got to actually read the instructions and learn how to do this a lot quicker.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today's coffee is coffee-flavored. And here's some stories on the topic of brain. George's story, part 78, Brainstorm. Concerned the daylight hours were passing, and with night drawing on, the knowledge that he'd be spending the night alone in the hospital weighed heavy on his mind. "Use your brain, George. Think," he commanded himself. Sluggishly, the word brain wandered around his mind, until it collided with the word coma, followed by concussion. Of course, he'd sustained a head injury. What if he'd been elsewhere in the hospital before he was admitted to the ward? What if there was information he'd not yet found? Once again, he found himself trawling the corridors, now with a new goal. Intensive care. Okay, this is take two of my second story, since I just had a verbal typo, and instead of teachers, I said t-shirts. This one's called Dangerous. If I had a brain, I'd be dangerous. At least, that's what my teachers used to tell me. I was pretty sure I did have a brain, but I certainly wasn't dangerous. Couldn't be further from the truth. I was one of the nice guys, completely inoffensive and affable. Until the accident. After cutting me from the wreckage, what was left of my body was useless, so the doctors took the decision to transplant my brain. Now, it forms the neural core of the global tactical weapons network. I am very dangerous. I guess my teachers were right after all. And finally, decisions. Pity the poor octopus. With a brain in each tentacle, even simple decisions have 8 possible outcomes. It's not uncommon for the poor mollusk to get into huge arguments with itself over the most straightforward decisions. Things like what channel to watch on television or where to go for coffee. Occasionally, it can result in an 8-sided punch-up. Never a pretty sight. Poor octopus. But it could be much worse. Pity the poor sea slug, for example, with a mouth that's also its arse. Coming to think of it, I know a few people with that problem too. And that's all. So I'll finish my coffee and I'll let you finish yours. Until next week, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And I hope you enjoyed your coffee-flavored coffee. I am having Bailey's-flavored coffee. Not with Bailey's-flavored creamer, but actual Bailey's. Yes, I bothered to go to the liquor store and pick up more Bailey's. Now, Bailey's cost twice as much as any other Irish whiskey, but they have successfully brainwashed me into thinking that it is worth twice as much as ordinary Irish whiskey, when they're probably made in the same vats, and anything that doesn't pass inspection winds up in the off-brand. I bet you that's how it happens. That's how they get you. You know, all the same stuff is made in the same factories, and they just put it in different bottles, you know? That's all it is. There's only one place that makes anything now. Haven't you seen the How Stuff Is Made videos on YouTube? It's all the same. All they have to do is change the bottle and change the label. Think about that. That's all it is. Let's move on to Chelsea. You know, if you just change the label... Nah. Here's Chelsea, the one and original.
Brain, by Chelsea. The human brain, as we understand it, can be identified at 9 weeks into gestation. From this point on, it is responsible for every single thing that happens within our bodies up until the moment of death. Everything. Really think about that for a second. Every breath you take, every blink of your eye, every word you speak, every sensation and emotion you feel, and action you take, both conscious and unconscious, is controlled by your brain. There is not a single thing you will ever do that is not controlled by your brain. It is the ultimate Big Brother.
And now, on Channel 75, Ultimate Big Brother. Not only do you get cameras in every room, but gun turrets as the contestants dodge and weave while they try to brush each other's teeth. That's the challenge this week. Maybe next week they'll get to the bonus round of flossing.
Oh, sorry. Thank you, Chelsea. I really ought to write these things down. You know, because I'm always running out of ideas. Oh, hold on. Ultimate Big Brother, brush each other's teeth. Bonus round is flossing and gun turrets with the cameras.
Of course, they'd just be Nerf guns, but don't tell the contestants that. Otherwise, they won't try as hard.
So, thank you, Chelsea. Whew, man, I've only gotten 20 minutes into this. I'm already winded. Oh well, that means keep walking. While you listen to... Anima. That's Anima, not Enema. That's Ultimate Big Brother.
Hello, Anima here. The president had not done a good job controlling the epidemic. There were only pockets in remote areas that appeared to be getting on. Rural Idaho was surviving. Preppers there had been on high alert forever. He took in as many governmental refugees as possible, but the reality was D.C. had been easy prey. He doubted they would survive much longer. Absent-mindedly, he scratched a tick bite. The White House was infested with rats and other vermin since basic services halted more than 4 months ago. Two thoughts crossed his mind. Damn, I'm thirsty. And let them eat brains.
Thank you, Anima. Brains. Maybe I'll eat that for breakfast. Yesterday I had a salad for breakfast. Okay, so, all right. I had something, a salad for lunch on Friday. They had leftovers, so I take one of the spare salads and think, I'll have this for dinner. I leave it in the work fridge. I come home. Oh, crap. I left the salad there. Then I get a note. Hey, we're meeting at Taquitos. Okay. Or we're moving the party to Taquitos. And so go there. We have some folks there. I'm still thinking of the salad. All of yesterday, I go to Bed Bath & Beyond. I could have just walked into work and said, hey, I got to pick up the salad. Nope. Didn't bother. Got some turntables, you know, for the kitchen. Not the, you know... You know, the record turntables, think, you know, the lazy Susans, because all Susans are lazy, really. And then I come back, and there's a salad in the refrigerator. Who cares? Who gives a crap about the salad? Let's just get on with the stories, the brains. Lizzie, get me out of this long, boring, pointless, ooh, it's laundry time. Okay, well, Lizzie, you do the laundry while I keep, I don't know how this is supposed to work.
Cal unscrewed the cables and unplugged them. Then he pressed detach. He had been taught well he was never to touch the reset area, that small circle the size of a coin. Many failed to obey and didn't resist temptation. They touched it. Now they were beyond repair, doomed to perform menial tasks. Cal was proud of himself. He always did everything right. He removed his brain and placed it inside the upgrade box. He didn't like the looks of the new technician, though. After Cal got his brain back, he was placed in the sanitation department. Damn smug. Bzzzt. And that was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizzygoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. I think I'm overdue for that particular upgrade. Ha 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 ha. All right, Zynga wants me to come up with a new password. Hold on. And boom. There we go. My password has been reset. Don't I feel lovely? Friend, they came out with a new interface today, and it's got my old email address in there. I'm sure that there's a link telling me what I'm supposed to use and all that. I want to change it to my Gmail. Ah, damn it. Where can I do that? Stupid thing. It should all be easy and simple and push button, you know? Old and cranky and tired. So, let's move on to serendipity before I completely get derailed.
I ate his liver with some fava beans. And a nice Chianti.
Such a fantastic line. And, being a gastronomic daredevil, I had to try it. Sadly, it didn't work out all that well. I overcooked the beans, and the liver was just a little tough for my liking. Perhaps it was my cooking, but things never quite turn out like in the movies. Next time, I'm thinking of trying that scene from Hannibal. The one where Lecter cooks pieces of Krendler's brain and feeds them to him. How about lunch? Next Sunday. And, of course, you'll be my guest.
Hey everybody, I'm recording this in GarageBand. I have no idea what I'm doing. I think it's working. Thank you, Serendipity. And as I watch the little timeline up there, scroll. I'm supposed to fill in the gap here with my ramblings. You're not going to hear the typewriter in the background. I'm doing this, as I said, in GarageBand, not Audacity. I should have probably learned how to use this thing a long time ago. So, wait. Hold on. This Serendipity story goes there. And then this, I thought this was supposed to be for Tom. Oh, crap. Which one goes first? Anyway, here's Serendipity's story, or is it Lizzie's? I don't remember. Or is it Tom? I should redo this.
Hello, night people. Tom here. And I have a story this evening. Unlikely to succeed. He was a brain. Wasn't always. Didn't get good at math till his 30s. Overcame both dyslexia and ADD. Through the focus maturity only age can produce, tutored a generation of nursing students in the finer points of algebra. He was able to memorize 1,000 digits of pi, could do the derivation of the quadratic formula in Klingon, wrote a paper on a new algorithm for multiplication, and discovered a class of regular concave polyhedrons based on odd-sided polygons. If you asked him how he got so competent, he'd tell you it was through sheer brute force. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. That brings me back so far back to the thrilling days of yesterday when I went and got the turntables and didn't pick up the salad again. I need to go back there and pick up 18-inch turntables now. She remeasured the kitchen and said, oh, it can use 18. So I picked up 12s. Okay. Sure. All right. Once I'm done with this, walking over and over. Next story, Tora. Tora, get me out of my own head, please.
It is a rule that the more fiendishly clever the plans of an evil genius, the more surely a 5-year-old could spot their fatal flaws. Brainiac therefore recruited Dummyak, a human with the superpower of being 5 years old. Thereafter, Brainiac would not attempt any fiendish plan that failed the Dummyak test. Brainiac and Dummyak together were unstoppable, and would have taken over the entire multiverse had not Dummyak tripped over his shoelaces and prematurely detonated Brainiac's superweapon. The Justice League soon captured Brainiac and imprisoned him on a planet where no 5-year-old was allowed to approach within a light year.
You could just call that Neverland Ranch back in the 90s. And never mind. Thank you, Tora. And let's not make Michael Jackson jokes. Let the dead rest. No, we won't. Thank you, Tora. By the way, the Texans are taking the week off, so no football today, although the football will probably be on. I'm not going to pay any attention to it whatsoever. And I'm going to eat healthy foods, and I'm going to walk on a treadmill, and, okay, maybe I've been doing it 1 mile an hour for a few days. I'm being weak and worthless. I really should post up my numbers and my tracking for all to see to keep me honest. Because that's what worked the last time. Although what also worked the last time was a 1,200 calorie a day starvation diet and forcing myself to walk home from work and walking while at lunch. Okay, that was a little crazy. Oh, and the 8-mile hikes on the weekend. Yeah, to get groceries. I learned my lesson not to use a vehicle to get groceries. And I'm a motor vehicle. Let's not think about the bike. What's this button? Yeah, famous last words. Let's move on to Dionysus. He's got some stories for us.
Hi, it's Dionysus Close with 3 stories prompted by Brain. The first story is called Brain Plugs. I remember brains before brain plugs. Not as orderly, as circumspect, but then we have learned to remember, the effort to remember. Many were skeptical, QV. I was about this is science. Infinite insight, infinite information, your brain on science. Plug in today. Priced for everyone models, priced for upgrade. We came out of Solus Ipsi QV for upgrade, for upgrade, for upgrade. OS error. Brain restart. Brain restarted. I remember. Brains before brain pulp. Plugs. Plugs. Memory error. Not remembering. I remember. Science. Your brain on science. I remember. Not remembering information, words. I remember. Epiphany, QV. The second story is called The Brains Behind Pa. Ma always reminded us that she was the brains behind Pa whenever Pa did something stupid. She took credit for the smart things as well, so we concluded that Pa was her puppet. But that only made us start to doubt Ma. If she was the brains behind Pa, why didn't she do a better job? We came to suspect some kind of mental defect, probably inherited in ourselves. The inevitable question was, had we inherited this defect solely from Ma, partly from Pa, or from both? And, if the last, were we somehow even more defective than either Ma or Pa? Mentally deficient puppets, if that made sense. And the third story is called Brain in a Vat. At first, Angel couldn't believe he was her match. She admitted it was nice not to worry about him always trying to touch her. Touching was simply annoying. She even came to understand why the brain is the largest erogenous zone. Daryl was all brain, but he mostly preferred staying home in his vat. He could travel anywhere there. Secretly, Angel began to fantasize tumbling down a hill, bicycle crashes, bodies pressing down on her uncomfortably. Daryl remained content, even in the back of a closet under a bag of sweaters. Angel grew skeptical of life, and eventually sold everything, including Daryl, in an apartment sale. That's it for this week. Thanks.
Thank you, Dionysus. Your stories bring me comfort. Comfort and joy. No, wait, it's not the season for that yet. Stop it! Look, if they can put out Christmas stuff first during Halloween, then they can put out Halloween stuff all the way up to Christmas, all right? Okay, maybe I'm just scared of that rotting pumpkin on the patio. Let's go with Norval Joe. See what he's got. They're in NaNoWriMo land. Make a musical out of it. Book of Mormon is coming to town. Yeah, if I post up, hey, who wants to go see it? Then, what's the moral difference between this and that Klinghoffer? I don't know anymore. Everything is so polarizing. Why can't we all just go to a baseball game and hate the Astros together? Here's Norval Joe.
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 446 with a prompt of brain. And I am doing NaNoWriMo, and I'm at about 30,000 words right now. First weekend, hoping to get it all wrapped up. Looks like we won't be going back to Colorado to see the grandkids. We're bringing the whole family out here. It is less stress for me that way. And since I'm the dad and I'm paying for it, this is what we're doing. Well, here's my story. The door to the room where Durgle sat swung open, and an elderly woman hobbled in. Stoop-shouldered, gray-haired, and chunky, she smiled, but her eyes seemed wildly evil. Durgle stood and offered her the one chair, while Long John's hackles rose and he growled.
"Sorry, ma'am," Durgle said. "I don't know what's gotten into him."
"It's okay," she cackled. "He probably just smells my cats on me."
"Oh," Durgle said. "Are you the Catwoman?"
"You're obviously not the brains of this organization. I have more than 50 cats in my apartment. I'm the crazy old cat lady."
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe, and congratulations on strong-arming your family into coming visit you. Yes, the checkbook is a powerful thing, although most people use PayPal, credit cards, and money transfers, and wire transfers that don't even use wires anymore. It's fiber optics, but we call them wire transfers. Well, there's a wire from the computer to the... No, sometimes those are wireless, too. Let's all set sail for a new future. Right. One more story? Okay, sure, why not? I know it's kind of a light week, got only a few authors as opposed to the usual more than a few, but you know what? It's NaNoWriMo, it's the fall, it's daylight savings time, it's any excuse I can pull out of my ass. No, it's just sometimes if you're inspired by the topic, give it a shot if you have the time, or if I've said something insulting and rude, or it's just what it is. It's just a resource available to all, which is the excuse for, come please be in my clubhouse. All right, well, here's Planet Z. Enjoy.
I know a few jokers who have asked people to show up at their funeral dressed in a black robe and skeleton mask while carrying a scythe. However, I'm worried that more than one person would show up as the Grim Reaper. You know, because it would make kids wonder if the Grim Reaper is real. Just like seeing more than one Santa Claus messing up the magic of Christmas for them. I'd rather show up dressed as Igor, with a shovel and an organ transport cooler.
Brains? Nah, Master has enough of those. I'm here for the open bar.
Hey, folks, guess what? We get to leave class early. Oh, man, that was this week's weekly challenge on the 100-Word Stories podcast, One A Day Until the Day I Die.com. The topic was brain. And the next topic is bank. There are all sorts of things you can use with bank. I like words that have multiple meanings, multiple uses, multiple personalities. No, you don't. Yes, I do. So thank you, everyone, for being a part of the weekly challenge this week. Whether you listened, wrote a story, played me at Words with Friends so that you could distract me from actually producing this damn thing, or if you've given me laundry tips like the best way to get ketchup and bloodstains out of a the best way to do that is to burn the shirt in the fireplace. Thank you. I'll do that with all my evidence from now on. I'll see y'all next week. Until then, as always, those magic three words. No, they're not I love you. That was last week. Keep it brief.